Shit. All right, so quiz time. Last week, do you remember last week's message? Here's the deal. I filled in the blanks for last week's message. We're on the second half of part one of part four. Part one of four, we're on the second half, so it'd be 1B if you're keeping track, which I hope you're not keeping track because we might not go to part two next week. I don't know yet. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 again, and we're going to continue in there, or we're going to be on the topic of how can I know God's will. Last week, if you remember, we learned about what God's will was not. First of all, we know it's not a feeling. We know it's not a formula. We know it is a relationship. And so now that I know what God's will is not, I want to look at this morning, what is God's will? And how will I know when I've found God's will? And that's a debate that churches have had for years, whether or not we're free will or we're predestined or, all those questions. And this morning, I will guarantee you, you'll leave here thinking, what did he just say? Hopefully you'll get you'll narrow this down. You'll get exactly what you need to hear this morning from the message. So I'm going to give you some principles from God's word. First of all, in order to know God's will, this is your first blank, we need to admit that I need guidance, okay? Admit that I need guidance. And sometimes this is tough because I hate to admit when I'm confused or when I don't know something because it's unmanly to stop and ask directions or to stop and ask questions. So it's kind of the pride in my own life, so I do not do that. And those of you who do, men, are girly girls, right? No, yeah. So how many of us have driven lost someplace we thought we knew exactly where we were going, and we get there and we find out this is not where I was headed at all? It's happened to me many times, and where we dread the words, hey, I'm lost. We don't want to call. We don't want to let somebody know that we're lost. But God says in Psalm 25, verse 9, if you look at that with me, it said, he guides the humble. And I want you to circle the word humble because that's a big word in my heart. I have a hard time being humble. What does the old song say? Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way, right? And so I have a hard time being humble. But anyways, it says he guides the humble, and that's supposed to be me. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his ways. And if you're arrogant or if you're conceited, and I know that sometimes I come across that way, and you decide that I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to do everything my way, God's going to say to you, be my guest. He's going to let you try, and he's going to let you attempt to do things. He's going to tell you just to go for it, right? Because I have people tell me all the time, I've been a Christian for 10 or 20 years, and I've never felt God guiding me. Listen, if you've never felt God guiding you, and you're finally admitting it, you're probably doing things in your life without praying about it. And so we make financial decisions without praying about it. We make vacation decisions without praying about it. And you make all these plans, career decisions, without praying about it. We take the opportunity because it's a great opportunity, but we don't pray about it. We just take it because it's a chance for advancement. And sometimes we're not supposed to advance. Maybe we're supposed to tread for a little bit. But we do these things without praying about it. Maybe you're single, you go on a date, and you don't pray about it first. Listen, that's one of the most important things you can ever do in your life, is pray about who you're going to date, because dating is what? Trying out for marriage, right? So you want to audition the right people, so you want to pray about it before you go on a date. And first of all, you have to admit to yourself that you need guidance. In order to do that, you have to ask. Ask. And you have to ask in faith for directions. In James, it says, you have not because you what? You ask not. And then later on, you'll see in Matthew, he says, ask and it shall be given, right? Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. I love acrostics. So ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. A-S-K. That's pretty easy to remember. Ask, seek, knock. So you can remember that. If you think about it, make a little note on the side. James 1:5 says this. If you want to know what God really wants you to do, ask him, and he'll gladly tell you. He's always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask, but be sure you really expect him to tell you. If you don't ask in faith, don't expect the Lord to give you a solid answer. So first what he says is you have to do things. You have to ask the right person. You ask God. Don't ask your bartender. Don't ask your barber. Don't ask your beautician. Don't ask your neighbor. Ask God. We have to go to God for directions. And then when you ask, you need to ask expecting an answer. You know, have you ever asked God to do something or to lead you in a direction, but you really didn't expect him to? He said, I'm going to ask anyways, but I know it's probably no. You ever felt that way? You have to expect an answer from God, and God honors faith. He promises wisdom. I love it when my kids say to me, I know it's probably going to be no, Dad, but can I? Have you ever had that moment with God? I know, God, it's probably, you know, you get to the point where you say, I know that you're probably going to say no, God, but I'd really like that Ferrari, you know? And you get a Fiero. You know what a Fiero is, right? It's a disaster that Pontiac made a long time ago. But they were really cool for about 2 years. So what happens is you ask God with the right attitude, and God will give you wisdom. He won't always give you a yes answer, but he will give you the wisdom to understand. And what is wisdom? It's simply the ability to make decisions the way God would. You have to admit that you have guidance, and you have to ask in faith for direction. Thirdly, we have to listen for God's response. And this is where we get off track, okay? This is where we get off track. We're too busy to listen to what God has to say. Have you ever asked in passing? Have you ever said to somebody, hey, how's it going in passing? And, you know, they're answering you, but you're way gone. There's no way you even understand what's going on. So we ask God in passing every day, Lord, bless this day. Thank you very much. Lord, thank you for this food. Bless it. Amen. You know, and we do that. We do it in passing. We ask God for a blessing in passing, and we don't take time to listen to what God has to say because we get in the habit of doing that. We have to take the time to tune in to what God is saying. You have to stop and listen. Job 33:14 says, God does speak, sometimes in one way, sometimes another. And even though people may not understand it, the question is, how do I understand God's word? How do I understand what God is saying? How do I tune into God's voice? You know, this room is filled with radio waves. There are radio waves bouncing off every wall. And if you have a transistor radio, which for those of you who don't know, that was the iPod of my generation. It went in one ear. You turn it, and you could turn the knob, and you could listen to the radio. You could listen to any different station you wanted to. But you have to have a device that you can turn and adjust to hear what is being transmitted. You can listen to country music, God forbid. You could listen, I'm just kidding, don't be mad at me. You could listen to rock and roll. You can listen to news radio. You can listen to all those things. Anything you want to, if you just have the right device. And that what God designed us to do is to be a transistor radio to hear his voice. God designed us to hear his voice. And there's nothing else in creation, by the way, that can hear God's voice. There's no animal, there's no creation designed to actually hear God's voice like us. But we are designed to hear it from God. Now, how do you tune in? What are the channels? Well, there are four ways we can hear from God. Number one, and this is not in your notes, so you kind of have to write this on the side. So there's four ways we hear from God. Number one is through the Bible. He uses the Bible to speak to us. You know, the Bible has been called the good book. You know, it's been called God's word. It's been called the good book. It's called the good news. You know, I kind of think of the Bible as a GPS for life. You know, we used to have a GPS. We kept it on the dashboard of the car until somebody stole it. But we kept it on the dashboard of the car, and we wouldn't go anywhere in the world, anywhere in the state, anywhere we travel. We always plug our GPS in. Why? Because she always told us where to go. You know, Maggie's always on. Magellan, we called her Maggie. And every time we go on a trip, we'd turn around, and she'd always tell us, turn right here, turn left here, turn right here. You've reached your destination. And so the Bible is God's GPS. And if you don't plug in the GPS, you can't get it to work for you. If you can't turn it on, if you don't turn it on, it won't work for you. And in order to do that, we have to open up God's word. We have to actually read God's word. And don't use this dip and skip method of reading God's word. And I used to do it when I was younger. You know, you'd take your Bible, you'd open it up, see. Right? And you read it. Oh, this is what God said to me today. That is not how God wants us to read his word. He wants us to understand his word, and sometimes dipping and skipping doesn't actually make it to what God has to say to you. You have to study God's word, and I would recommend that you start with a book like John, if you've never studied John, and read it. It's the basics of Christianity. And then you can go into Romans. Romans is a lot deeper than that, but it talks about propitiation and big words like that, but it really talks about how our sin is dealt with. And so then you, and it's easier to start in the New Testament because I get confused with, you read the Bible through, you get to about Kings and you go, who begot who? And you're scratching your head trying to figure out who did what to, and really God wants us, it's not a big mystery, he wants you to understand his word. So we say, because if you just kind of look at it one verse at a time, you're never going to get the whole picture of what God's word is. Another way that God talks to us is through teachers, right? And it doesn't necessarily have to be the preacher, but people who are teaching God's word or what God's word says. Have you ever been in a crowd at a church and you think, you know what? That he's speaking right to me. Now, I know people have said to me in the past, Dan, have you been talking to my wife? You know what's going on at work? Because it said, what have you said today? It really hit me personally. And I will tell you that, no, I don't study your lives in person. I don't call up your wives or your husband and say, hey, look, what's going on? I don't do that because I look at what God's word teaches, and I teach it. But what happens is anytime you open God's word and you study God's word, you should be learning something from it. And that's one of the reasons you shouldn't miss church, because every week there's a message for you in this message. It doesn't necessarily mean that, some of it we end on a you should get saved, and some of it we end on a you should get baptized, you should join the church, you should get in a small group. Listen, there's something for everybody whenever we read God's word. And it really disappoints me, breaks my heart when people I know will call and say, yeah, I quit going to church. I said, why do you quit going to church? I said, the minister's messages just don't do it for me anymore. I get nothing out of the message. You ever heard anybody say that? Listen, whenever God's word is broken open, even if the minister is lacking in the ability to teach, you should be able to get something out of God's word. When my children read God's word, I'm touched. When children read God's word, and they're not elocution speakers, they're not big, preachers. They just read God's word. And sometimes God's word is just all we need, right? But don't miss church, because you'll miss the opportunity to be taught. The third way that God speaks to us is through impressions. You know what an impression is? It's an idea or a hunch, and God can speak that way. And it does always, by the way, when you go by a hunch, it always has to match God's word. God's not going to give you a hunch that is a sin. He's not going to give you a hunch to steal. That's not from God, all right? He's not going to give you that hunch. And sometimes we put too much into the hunch of God, right, what he's going to give us. We're going to go to Taco Bell, or we're going to McDonald's today for lunch. Let me pray about it. Really, we're going to Subway because I have a coupon for Subway. That's where we're going. And sometimes we just go with the coupons. But the reality is, I don't think God cares whether you go to McDonald's or Taco Bell. Matter of fact, he'd probably prefer you not eat at either of those places or Subway. You know what I mean? God doesn't give us hunches that go against Scripture. So don't waste your time asking God whether I should turn right or left at the Subway. It doesn't work that way. In the middle of what we do, every impression has to match God's word. If you're really laying it on God, it has to match his word. So let me give you a suggestion. If you're facing a really big decision right now, maybe it's your job, maybe it's your life, maybe it's children, I don't know what it is, whatever you're facing, I want you to, before you go to bed tonight, I want you to, the last thought in your mind, I want you to say to God, all right, Lord, what's the next step for me? All right, and then turn off the TV, okay, because you don't want anything else to get in your eye. I want you to think before you go, what's the next step for me? And you gotta wait for God, and sometimes you'll wake up in the morning, you'll wake up and you'll have this clear impression from God. That's what I'm supposed to do. You know the term, I sleep on it? That's what it means. You sleep on it. Wake up, and sometimes the answer is just there in your mind because you've given it a chance to shut your mind off and just let God work. The fourth way that God speaks to us, is one that we're familiar with. It's our circumstances. You ever complained about a job, and then lo and behold, a couple weeks later, you've gotten fired? Ever that happened to you? It's happened to me. Complain about work, I get fired, but my circumstances have talked to me. Complain about a friendship, they drop me. I've been broken up by, I have had friends that call me and say, I can't hang out with you anymore. I'm like, you're breaking up with me? Really? I'm married, but I like friends, right? But they call me and say, Pastor, I can't hang out with you anymore. I'm devastated, you know? But sometimes our circumstances is how God speaks to us. Maybe that relationship wasn't healthy, you know? Maybe that job wasn't healthy. Or, you know, maybe you got a demotion because you're supposed to be down here with these people here and not up here with the upper echelon of work. I don't know what your circumstances are, but sometimes God speaks to us through the circumstances. You remember the movie Apollo 13? And they were going to the moon, right? That was the end goal. They were going to the moon. They set all their dials to moon. And then they go, right? And they go up and they shoot to the moon. Well, then they lose the moon, right? They can't go to the moon because the air, the O2 scrubber blew out of the thing. They had to build it. You guys have got to see this movie. So here's what they do. To get home, the movie says they get Earth in the window. He says, what you need to do is put Earth in the window, the center of the window, and make course corrections to keep Earth in the center of the window. And you know, that's what we need to do with our life. We put God in the middle of our life, and then we make course corrections to stay in to where we can see God's will for our life. And sometimes you're going to go left. Sometimes you're going to go right. Sometimes you're going to go up. Sometimes you're going to go down. That's what happens. It brings us heartache when we lose sight of Earth. When we lose sight of God's will, we have this heartbreak that goes on. Right? And then we lose sight of God's will. We get out of God's will. We forget where we're from. Right? We forget what our prize is. And so we forget that, and we have to just stop, listen to what God has to say, and then get it back together. Sometimes it's not an audible voice. You're not always going to hear, you know, God say, Dan, wake up, stupid. He's not always going to do that. Sometimes he makes me course correct by impressions I get or by reading his word. You know, and sometimes they speak to you, God speaks to you in a way that you don't even understand. You're just like, wow, that was totally from God. I had somebody one time at a church, I was a youth minister. Actually, I was an intern. I wasn't even a youth minister. I had a job, like a 40-hour-a-week job. This lady came up to me, she said, she was about this tall. She's about 170. She came up, she said, you are going to be a pastor one day, I just know it. I've got this prophecy from God. And, you know, I said, oh, that's really nice. I went home and told my dad, there's this crazy lady at our church, right? And he said, look, don't rule out the crazy lady. Because maybe God speaks to crazy ladies, you know? And lo and behold, I'm a pastor. Not like instantly, but God will get me there eventually. So the fourth thing we have to do is trust God when I don't understand, right? So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this, trust in the Lord. You know this verse? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Right? And I want you to circle the words trust in there. And then I want you to circle the words he will. So as you see that, you see trust and he will. If you trust, then he will. If you trust, then he will. And if you don't understand God, what God's telling you to do something, it's a test. And sometimes you're supposed to just trust God that he's telling you to do the right thing. And you're gonna grow spiritually. Maybe not instantly. And he's going to take you through these obedience checks as you go along the way. And he's going to say, okay, you're doing this. You're doing this. You know, and he may ask you to do something that's humanly impossible. It might be just a test for you. You know, he's testing to see if you'll trust him. He's testing you to see if you'll obey him, right? The greatest story in the Old Testament has to be when Moses freed the Israelites, right, from Egypt. And he says to Pharaoh, long story short, he says to Pharaoh, you're going to do this or God's going to be mad and do some things. And so what ends up happening is Pharaoh finally says, look, Moses, get out of here. Take these guys and go. You want them, you can have them. So then God takes them out of the desert, and they get walking, and they're walking, and they end up in this little cul-de-sac, right? And it's cold. They got two mountains and a sea right in the middle. And so God gets their attention, because now they don't know where to go. So Moses is sitting there, and he says, okay, what can I do? And he doesn't make a step right away, but God was testing them to see if they were going to be obedient. And look, it looks impossible. you've got this little ocean that you got to cross. In order for them to cross, what does Moses do? He puts a stick in the water and he steps out and the water parts. And he gave them a road where there was no road. He gave them a road when there was no road. Later he said, your road, God's road, led us by the pathway through the sea. A pathway that no one knew was there. Nobody knew it was there. Who knew it was there? God knew it was there. We just had to trust, right? You ever been to Disneyland? I know Dylan's looking at me like, I'm never going to Disneyland. Anyways, Disneyland, there's this ride called Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. And Mr. Toad's Wild Ride is in Fantasyland. But you get on the track, and you're riding along in this little car with four people. And you come up to a wall, and all of a sudden the wall opens up. And a track goes through the wall. You think, well, that's kind of weird. And you go, you turn one way and you're heading toward the forest and the trees open up and a road appears out of nowhere. This is what our life is like with God. Sometimes Mr. Toad's Wild Ride happens in my life. I'll be thinking I'm going one direction and God will open up a way where I never thought it was going to be. And you do things like, am I ever going to get out of debt? Well, yes, you can get out of debt. You know, I'm never going to get out of this problem. I mean, things are never going to work out for me. I'm never going to get the job that I wanted. My dream is never going to come true. We're never going to have a baby. We want to have a baby. All those things that we go through in life, God thinks, you think there's no way out of it. God has a way out of it. And you think you're at a dead end, and you think that this looks like the end of the road when God is just getting ready to absolutely show you more track. God will make a pathway through the middle of the ocean for you. You say, well, it doesn't make sense. Not everything in the world has to make sense. I have one of those type A personalities. I like everything to make sense. Sometimes we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but God sees the light at the end of eternity. God sees that light. Until that time, it's my job to do what God tells me to do. You know, and you do it anyways and try to relax through the process. Because when you relax, when you kick back, you say, okay, I'm going to let this happen. God, we're going to do this. And you trust him, you know. I don't trust this situation I'm in, but I trust God, right? You ever thought you'd say that? I don't trust the people around me, but I trust God to get me through it, you know. And so you just relax and let God take you through it. And then let me give you three things to avoid. Here we're going to avoid in helping to find God's will. Number one, don't be fatalistic. Don't be fatalistic. You know, the attitude, well, whatever happens, it's God's will. You know, have you ever heard people say that to you? Somebody dies and you're like, oh, it must have been God's will. That's one of the best things you can say to somebody, by the way, who's lost somebody. Must have been God's will. Yeah, you know, God doesn't want us to get that way, you know. And when I say, oh, it must have been God's will, you think of good things or bad things? Usually we think of bad things. All the bad things that happen in life, it must have been God's will, you know. If anything good happens, it's luck, right? Oh, yeah, we're very fortunate. I'm a lucky guy. But if anything bad happens, well, it must have been God's will. You ever seen your insurance policy, right? You ever read your insurance policy, those who have insurance, right? They consider an act of God a hurricane, tornado, right? A flood. Those are all acts of God. No, an act of God is a baby being born. That's an act of God. An act of God is a marriage staying together after 40 years. It's an act of God. Those are acts of God. Everybody in the world is saying, you know what, let's just go our own way, but God keeps us together somehow. Whatever happened is God's will. You know, don't be fatalistic. Don't be that way. And then you do realize that God's will is not always done. This is where you go, did you just say that? Not everything that happens in the world is God's will. It can't be. When children are molested, that's not God's will. You know, that's never God's will. When people are killed in wars, that's not God's will. That is not God's will. God is not the author of evil, and yet he gets all the blame when things happen. You see, we have the freedom to choose, and sometimes as human beings, we choose evil. And sometimes when people choose evil, innocent people get hurt. You know, that's why we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Because in heaven, that's where it's always God's will. On earth, it's not always God's will. That's why we pray that. God's will is not always done. That's why we're able to pray. The Bible says, what does the Bible say? That the Lord is not willing that any should perish and go to hell. It's not God's will that anybody should perish, but yet people reject Christ all the time, and they go to hell. Of course they do. Why? Because God's will is not always done here on earth. We're given the freedom to reject God's will. We are given the freedom, and every time that you do this, every time you reject God's will or you reject the right choices, you're going to get hurt or somebody else is going to hurt, okay? Somebody else is going to get hurt. But don't be fatalistic, and don't blame God for everything. Don't blame God for, you know, well, it must have been God's will. Look, another problem with that is it turns us into puppets. I'm not a puppet. The fact is, you're created as a human being in God's image. What does that mean? Does it mean that you look like God? He's pretty pathetic looking if he looks like me. No hair, and I used to have muscles, and now it's just all right here, right? So what happens is it turns us into this puppet, and what it is if you're made in God's image, you have the ability. God is the ultimate creator, right? So you have this ability to create things. Brooke is an artist, right? She paints, she creates things. I can't do that. She's creative, and that's a God-given gift. Right, whatever it is that you do, arts and crafts or music, or God gave you the ability to be creative because he made you in his image. Most of the problems that I have in my life are brought on by me. They're not brought on by God. People don't understand. They're waiting for God to do something he's not going to do for us. If you ask God for a job, but you're sitting at home on your lazy boy, checking out the Price is Right every day at 10 o'clock, you're not going to get a job. God wants you to get off your booty and hit the street and find a job. You know? You heard that joke about the guy who was on this roof and they sent two helicopters. He said, "No, God's going to save me." And they sent a boat. He said, "No, God's going to save me." And then he ends up dying and he goes to heaven. He says, "God, why didn't you save me?" And God said, "I sent you two helicopters and a boat. But yet you chose to do your own thing." You know, God gives us a way out, and sometimes it's through working. You know, we expect something supernatural. And really, sometimes it's just doing what God tells us to do. And whether you realize it or not, sometimes you're asking God to make a decision for you that you were supposed to make. You know? But the way you're sitting around and waiting for God to do it for you is not biblical. Being passive, contemplating the lint in your navel, whatever it is you do in your spare time while you're waiting for God to do something. I'm waiting for God to bring me a wife. I had to hit the streets to get a wife. You know what I mean? Had to actually ask somebody out. You know, God's not just going to deliver some woman to my house. Well, I mean, anyways. What God's saying is, I've given you a brain. You should probably use it. I've given you the ability to have a decision, like, should I have asparagus or green beans tonight? I don't need to make that a matter of prayer. I don't eat green things. There's no problem, right? God gives you the ability to make that decision. Why? Because we know God. Because we know God, the decisions we make will honor him if we truly know God. So, number one was, what was it? Way up there. Don't be fatalistic. Number two, don't be frustrated. You ever get frustrated? You think you're doing what God tells you to do and you fail? Well, if God's not a God of failure, how can I fail when I know I'm doing God's will? Listen, don't get frustrated. All of us are going to fall flat on our face at one point or another. You'll say, "Well, I thought God was leading me to go into business with so-and-so or do this." And listen, sometimes it fails. And that's how we learn, is by failing. What do you do when there are no answers? You keep trusting. And you know that God is working on your character through it all. You know, and he has some good plans for you, and he's got this great plan for you, but sometimes we have to kick through, we have to step through the steps to get there. Remember what I said last week? We expect God to bless us without going through the process. So don't be frustrated. He has good plans for you. Third, don't be fearful. Don't get nervous. Don't get worried. Just because you say to God, you know, hey, thy will be done, that doesn't mean he's going to make you a missionary to Africa. Now, Africa gets a lot of bad rap. You know, I'm sure there are good things in Africa, but I myself don't necessarily feel called to go there, right? I want to be a missionary to Kona for a week or two. No big deal. But what happens is we forget. We say, okay, look, thy will be done. We ask God to do his will in our life, but we're afraid. So some of us are even afraid to say that word. We have this fear of commitment. Well, if I say thy will be done, I have to accept what God tells me, right? And we have this fear of criticism. What if I say thy will be done and I'm called to do something and I fail at it? Well, maybe God's teaching you to do it. I didn't preach the best sermon right out of the gate. My very first Sunday school lesson, oh, listen, I have to tell you my first Sunday school lesson when I taught my first Sunday school lesson when I was in 11th grade. It was Youth Sunday. Youth Sunday, back in Baptist days, back when I was a kid, Youth Sunday happened once a year. All the adults would go on vacation for a week and let the youth teach their classes. I taught the senior adult men. Talk about intimidation. And they were so loving. They, oh, what a great, Dan, you did such a great job. You should teach every week. Right. Right. I just came for the ice cream, dude. Right? So, but anyways, that was my first teaching experience, and I failed miserably. I remember the first time I led music. I was doing, you know, the old music. This is the day of music leading, by the way. We used to do this. And I remember we had a grand piano, and I stood in the nook of the piano. You know, the grand piano is like 8 feet long. And I stood on the grand piano. I sat by the grand piano while the preacher come up. You know, this is how we do things traditionally. Preacher ends a sermon. Sermon one, we have the invitation. Then he gets up in the middle of the invitation and talks about how you should come forward. And so during the second invitation, I'm standing over in the nook of the piano and I lay my hand on the piano lid. And the broomstick that was holding the grand piano lid, which weighs 150 pounds, fell out. And my thumb was under the lid and it went, boom! I don't even remember what I said. I just remember thinking, Lord, help me. I went to school to learn how to do music. I did all that stuff. They didn't cover any of that stuff, by the way, in school, how to deal with those things. And I failed miserably. But it was something I had to do to learn. Maybe the lesson is, don't put your hand on the piano. You know, I don't know what the lesson is for you today. Thy will be done, and God will do it for you. Perfect love, what does it say? Cast out all fear. That's what the Bible says. There is no fear in love. Don't be afraid. God loves us. When you're in trouble, don't doubt that. God loves you. When you go through those problems, there was no doubt in my mind that God loved me. There was no doubt in my mind that he has a sense of humor, but there's no doubt in my mind that he loves me. And you'll always have this impression that God loves you. Have patience. And one day you'll see what he's doing in your life. He knows what's best for me. He knows what's best for you. Even when you can't see what's going on, he does. He sees things that we can't even begin to see. And God's path for you may be painful. There are people who get cancer and they suffer who are Christians. And they die and they're Christians. Psalm 37 says this. It says, the steps of a man are established by the Lord. When he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. When I fall, I don't want anybody to hold my hand but Jesus. Right? And that's what we're supposed to do. The Bible was this custom-made map for us. And we walk in fellowship with God. And listen, it's going to be a big mistake, by the way, for you to try to be somebody else. You know, we always take on the characteristic of somebody who mentors us. But I can't be who my mentor was. I can't be Rick Warren. I can't be Billy Graham. I can be Dan, all right? And try to take on what God tells me to do as Dan Paxton, the called person of God. Don't be somebody else. It's going to be a big mistake for you to try to follow somebody else's path, because God has a path for you that may be different from theirs. And then fifthly, act on what I already know to do. The truth is, you know a lot of things that God wants you to do. You already know what God wants you to do with your life. You know, so why haven't you done it? Why haven't we done it? God's not obliged to give us step two unless we do step one. That's what he says, right? If you, then he, right? And so if you want to know what God's will for your marriage is, or you want to know what God's will is for your life or for children in your life, let's get down to the basics. Are you reading your Bible every day? Are you in God's Word every day? Are you in Bible study? Are you tithing? Are you praying? Are you asking God for those things? Are you talking to God? You say to God, but God, I really want to know, but you don't want to talk to him about anything else. You know? It says in the Bible, you know, we say, oh, I intend to. I remember a preacher gave us a little round wooden thing that said tuit on it, T-U-I-T. And it was a big joke back then, because in the country, people laugh at jokes like that. It's around to it, because you kept saying, I'm going to get around to it. Nowadays, kids don't even know what getting around to it means. But that's what it is. It was around to it. And I would say, when you get around to it, so you hand everybody around to it. Everybody's got around to it. Now you can go do your work, right? Listen, you need to step in and do the right thing. James tells us that anyone who knows the right thing but doesn't do it is what? Sinning. If you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, then it's sinning. And so don't boast about tomorrow. What else it says? Don't boast about tomorrow before you don't know what a day brings. Don't brag about what you're going to do tomorrow. Talk about what you're going to do today. Matter of fact, just do it today. Don't talk about doing it next week, because you may not be here next week. You may not be around next week. Do what you know that you're supposed to do and you haven't done yet. Do those things first. What's your next step? Can you think of anything? Well, let me give you a few. Give your life to Christ, number one. We always say that. Give your life to Jesus. Yeah, give your life to Jesus. Accept his gift of salvation. That's the very first thing. And then follow him in believer's baptism. That's the second thing. People say to me, what do? I get saved, and then I have to start giving money. No, that's not what God says. God says you get saved, then you get baptized. And then he says, let's talk about those other things, right? So, what do? Get baptized after you've been saved. It was a public commitment. Even the next question, are you in a small group? Are you in a Bible study somewhere? Ladies do it really well. Man, we are really bad at it. We always think, we got so much work to do, we can't get together. We get together for a prayer meeting on Saturday right after waffles. And really, it's not much. It's a devotion. And I'm not bagging on us, man, but we are bad. Have you noticed that? We just don't do it right. Women, they get the Bible study going. So we need to get in a small group. What do you need to do that you've been putting off? Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4 says this. When you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through, for God makes no pleasure in fools. What he's saying is, if you make a promise to God, and you say, I'm going to do something, and you haven't done it yet, whether it's tithing or Bible study or reading God's word or doing anything else, it could be anything God says to do, don't delay, do it. If God is telling you on your heart this morning, I need to go home and I need to call my old friend and apologize, then you go home, you call your old friend and apologize. You know, we have cell phones now. You could actually, when we get done saying amen, you could leave right now and do it. I'd be okay with it. Go outside and call your friend and say, I'm sorry. If God has put something on your heart, why wait? Why wait? Because that's what's easier for us. Because by the time 2 o'clock rolls around, I've got 18 excuses why I didn't do what I should have done. Why I don't have to do what I felt God telling me to do. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? Jesus wants to guide you through life. He knows where he wants to take you, and he knows how to get you there safely. He'll never leave you. He holds your hand So much of the stress we go through is unnecessary. God has got a plan for us. And maybe you wandered off the path. Maybe you're not where God, maybe you never got on it, but maybe you just wandered off of it. But, you know, if you're just confused or saying, you know, why am I here? What's my purpose? I'll tell you why you're here. You're here because God loves you and he has a plan for you. And he wants you to know what his will is for you. So the next question I want to ask you in your mind this morning, ask yourself, ask God, Father, what is the next step? Is it to give your life to Jesus? Is it, if you've never done that, you need to do that today. And if you've been thinking about it, you need to step across that line and just do it. If you've never been baptized, you need to make a public profession of faith. That's what you need to do. That's the next step for you. Pray with me. Lord, I need you in my life. I need your guidance in my life. I admit that I need it. I ask today that you will direct me. Help me to listen for your response. Help me to not be so busy that I can't hear you, but help me to tune you in and just be able to listen to you. And Father, when I don't understand it, help me to trust you more. Help me to not be fatalistic. Help me to not get frustrated. Help me to not be fearful, but help me to act on what I know to do already.